lamp unto my feet. Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. Fanny J. Crosby lived from 1820 to 1915 and was a very talented songwriter who wrote over 8,000 hymns despite being struck with blindness at age 8. You probably have sung a number of the hymns that were written by Fanny J. Crosby. In 1869, she wrote a beautiful song entitled, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. The verses of that beautiful song say, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. As that song expresses, there is a great need to make sure that we are never too far removed in our thoughts from the cross of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something, my friend. Are you walking today with the shadow of the cross o'er you, just like that song says? I pray that you are. And I pray that every day of your life will be lived in the shadow of the cross of Jesus Christ. In this lesson this morning, let us be reminded of the reasons that we should ask Jesus to keep us near the cross. First of all, near the cross, we find healing. As the song so beautifully states, near the cross, all Christians can find access to a flowing fountain with the power to heal. It is a fountain that has the power to heal us from our sin. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And the consequence of our sin is death, Romans 6:23. The punishment of our sin is a place of torment, of fire and darkness, where there is no love and no rest, and there is no presence of God. None of us want to know what that place is like. And so we all stand in need of forgiveness. And praise be to God that there is a fountain flowing that is an unlimited source of forgiveness. When Jesus was pierced on the cross, the nails went into his hands and his feet. The thorns went into his brow. He was beaten with the scourge. His side was pierced. And from that moment forward, his blood paid the price, and that fountain began to flow. It was opened. Access is now granted to it for cleansing of sin and forgiveness. In Zechariah 12 and verse 10, the Bible pictured that wonderful fountain even before Jesus came to this world. Zechariah 12:10 says, And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly for him as one weeps over a firstborn. This verse can help you picture Jesus as he's suffering on the cross. You weep for him, you mourn for him, because you know he doesn't deserve the suffering that he's enduring. He's in our place. That's why we weep for him. But the blessing that comes out of that is that there would be a spirit of grace and mercy poured out upon the people of the world because of the sacrifice that he made. Mercy is God forgiving us of the punishment that we deserve. And grace is God bestowing upon us the blessings of His peace and joy, which we don't deserve. And both of us come to us now. We dip our vessel, as it were, into the fountain. Bring out that refreshing water to cool and to refresh our tongue. More importantly, we bring forth the forgiveness that we need of our sin. Zechariah 13:1 says, on that day there shall be a fountain opened. It's open to everyone. Its access is granted for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from their sin and uncleanness. Here, God's forgiveness is not pictured as a well. You know, sometimes wells will run dry and they will eventually run out of water. But here, it is pictured as a fountain, an unlimited source that we can keep coming back to over and over again, but that we should never take for granted. We should come quickly to the fountain to receive forgiveness. What is your reaction when you sin? I hope that your reaction is to quickly reach out to God in repentance and seek His forgiveness. He will receive you. When we sin, we should never hesitate to confess and repent of our sin and return to the fountain of God's grace as often as we need to. Our sin has stained us deeply, so deeply that there's not anything you and I could say or do that would reverse our condition. But though our sin has stained us deeply, the precious fountain of God does have the power. It's the only source that has the power to cleanse us and forgive us, so that we need no longer bear the burden of our sin. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Isaiah 1:18. The fountain that Miss Crosby sang about is a fountain that has the power to heal us from our sin. And it has the power to overcome the struggles that we face from day to day. If we stay near the cross, if we live with its shadow over us each and every day, we will find there the power to overcome the struggles that we're facing. When Crosby wrote this song, the country was recovering from the family destruction and the hatred of the Civil War. I notice the reference to a trembling soul, overwhelmed with fear and anxiety. That's the idea. And at that time, more than anything else, the country needed to stay near the cross. If they would stay near the cross, they would learn how to treat each other, how to love their brother. If they would stay near the cross, they would find the strength and the hope to overcome the turmoil that they were facing. While Jesus made this statement from the cross, "It is finished," sure, He had paid the price. But we need not think that when He said, "It is finished," that He is finished with us. His goal is to have us in heaven with Him, and He will see that effort through to its completion. Just as He saw His work finished on the cross, He will see His work finished with us. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." Ephesians 5:25-27. You see, Christ's goal is to present the church to God in heaven without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He wishes to present the church unto God as holy and without blemish. That's why He went to the cross. He loved the church enough to give Himself up for her. And He's not going to give up His work until that is made a reality. He will protect the investment that He made. You know, I don't know if you've had to purchase or open a child's toy recently, but these days they come with all of these little rubber plastic ties. Each one of them probably has a dozen of those little things, and it's a headache trying to undo all of those things and get that out. And we might complain about that, but I really understand why they do that. I can remember as a child going through the aisles of the toy section of a store, and lots of kids would take the toys out and play with them, and then when it was time to leave the store, they just put them back on the shelf. Companies got tired of that happening, I'm sure, so they started securing these things. They had a lot of money invested in making these toys, and so they started protecting that investment, securing it so that it would accomplish the purpose it was meant to accomplish, which was making them money. On a much grander scale, Jesus invested his life in our salvation. And even now he continues to answer our prayers so that that investment that he has made will come to reach its purpose, a home in heaven with us there, with God and with Jesus. It's an amazing thing. And as we stay near the cross, we are reminded this is Christ's commitment to seeing us through the struggles that we're facing, to helping us overcome our temptations and trials, so that we can have that home in heaven. Without this fountain, we would certainly be without strength. Romans 5:6 says, while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. We were weak. We didn't have the strength to overcome our problem with sin. And so Jesus, in his own strength, overcame for us. You ever heard of a Team Hoyt? Team Hoyt consists of a father and son squad, Dick and Rick. Together they compete just about continuously in marathon races. And if they're not in a marathon, they're in a triathlon, that daunting, almost superhuman combination of 26.2 miles of running, 112 miles of bicycling, and 2.4 miles of swimming. Together they have climbed mountains and once trekked 3,700 miles across America in 45 days. This dynamic duo loves to race. But here's the amazing thing. Only half of Team Hoyt can actually run. Dick, the dad, can, but Rick's legs don't work, nor does his speech. He must use a computer specially designed for him to communicate with his family. At his birth in 1962, the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck, starving oxygen from his brain and stealing coordination from his body. At age 15, he asked his dad if they could enter a 5-mile benefit race. Now, Dick was not a runner, but he was a father. So he loaded his son in a wheelchair and off they went, and they haven't stopped since. Now, obviously, Rick depends entirely on the strength of his father. But you know what? Our Father in heaven wants us to do the same thing. Not to try to muster the strength ourselves. We're like Dick Hoyt. We don't have the strength. We don't have the ability to deal with the problem that our sin has caused. And many times we don't have, on our own, the strength to deal with the trials and temptations that we face. Our Father wants us to lean on His strength, to depend on His love and forgiveness. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Near the cross, we find healing. Also, near the cross, we find hope. In the song, Crosby sings, "Near the cross, I'll watch and wait." Near the cross, we find a reason to watch for the future. You know, that idea of watching is something very interesting in Crosby's songs, especially when you think about the fact that she was blind, had been for most of her life. But through faith, she had eyes to see into the future and had a reason to hope and wait for greater things. In the cross, no matter what's happening around us, we may be beset with physical sickness or financial trouble. We may be beset with a temptation to sin that we've been battling for many years, or a trial that we wonder whether or not we have the strength or the ability to overcome. But in the cross of Jesus Christ, we find a reason to keep believing and to keep trusting. A God who loved us in that dark hour will not desert us now. If ever there was a time when God would have abandoned us, I think it would have been in that moment when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, how his heart must have been pained to hear his son crying out like that. If ever he was going to abandon us, it would have been then, but he didn't, and he won't now. Near the cross, where Jesus cried out like that, we are reminded how desperately God wants us to be in heaven with him. And in Jesus, we find a hope which will keep our soul anchored through the storms of life. Hebrews 6, verses 19 and 20 says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We have a sure and a steadfast anchor. The storms of life are crashing down upon us in many different ways. Like Peter, we feel like we're walking on the water. And sometimes we take our focus away from Jesus, and like Peter, we focus on the waves and we begin to sink. It's in times like that we have to bring our focus back to Christ. He is our sure and steadfast anchor, who gives us a hope. He has entered into heaven itself. That's this reference here to the inner place behind the curtain. That's a reference to the most holy place in the temple, and it represented heaven. Only the high priest could go into the most holy place. Jesus is our high priest, who went not into a temple here on earth, but who entered into heaven itself. He is our forerunner, the one who went before us into death, to face death, and has gone before us into heaven. Our high priest, who asks for our forgiveness, and because he is there, we can be assured that he will. We need to remember. We need to remember it was there at the cross that love and mercy found us. There, that bright and morning star sheds its beams around us. The morning star comes after a long night of darkness. And when it peaks over the horizon, it kind of brings a not only light that puts an end to the darkness, but it kind of brings a hope, doesn't it? It continues to get brighter and brighter until it reaches its pinnacle. Likewise, Jesus, after a long darkness of sin, peaked over the horizon as our bright and morning star to bring hope of light and a new day. We must never forget what he did for us. Luke 22:19 tells us that on that night, when Jesus ate that final Passover meal with his disciples, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus wants us to never forget what he did there on the cross for us, and to never forget the hope that we have because of him. In the song, Crosby sings that God will lead us to rest beyond the river. That's a reference to the Old Testament. God rescued the people out of Egyptian bondage. But he didn't stop there. He continued to lead them until they would cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land and come to take possession of it as their home. Joshua 4, verses 20 through 24 says, "And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, 'When your children ask their fathers in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over. As the Lord God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we had passed over. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" It's a beautiful thought that God, who rescued his people in the Red Sea, now is leading them through the Jordan River into their home. The image is that God not only saved us from our sin, as he did in the Red Sea, but he will lead us into heaven, as pictured in crossing the River Jordan. We can trust that. And near the cross, if we stay near the cross, we can be assured of that hope of rest beyond the river. But finally, near the cross, we find humility. Fanny J. Crosby was very well known during her time. In fact, she was often invited to meet with presidents, generals, and other dignitaries. In fact, she was called upon to play the hymn "Safe in the Arms of Jesus" at President Grant's funeral in 1885. In her later years, she also became a very popular public speaker. Despite all of her accomplishments, all of the things that she did against many great odds, when she wrote this song, she wrote this line, "In the cross be my glory ever." I find it amazing that a person that lived such an impressive life did not claim that glory was in those accomplishments that she had made. Her glory was in the cross. Near the cross, the ground is level to all men. Perhaps you might have heard the story about a preacher who was preaching in a meeting at a town. And one night, he came to the close of his meeting, of his sermon, and he extended the invitation to all of those who wanted to obey the gospel to come and obey and receive the forgiveness of God's grace and mercy. As the song was being sung, a man began to come forward. As he was coming closer, the preacher recognized that this man was the poorest man in that town. They continued singing, and in a few minutes, another man began to come forward. And as he came closer, the preacher noticed that, in fact, this was the richest man in that town. He thought he would say something to point out the magnitude of how God's grace had reached two men at such opposite ends of the social standard. As the song was finished and the people were seated, the preacher made this statement. He said, "We have seen very clearly tonight that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter where we are or who we are. We find an equal standing at the cross of Jesus Christ. There we find humility. And so we do not seek to lift up ourselves, but we are striving to lift up Christ by the lives that we live." 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Not in himself or not in his own accomplishments or his own good deeds. Let him boast in the Lord. Galatians 6:14 says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." That statement was made by the Apostle Paul, and it means a great deal coming from him. As he was raised up in the Jewish faith, he was trained for success. He was given the finest education. He came from the tribe of Benjamin, which was one of the most coveted, most special and precious tribes. He was trained by Gamaliel, a great instructor and rabbi in the Jewish faith. He was poised for great success with the Sanhedrin Council and in many other areas of that religion. But when he came to meet the Lord and came to realize that his only hope was in Christ, he was willing to let it all go. He was willing to turn away from the fame and the fortune that he had waiting for him in that religion. In fact, much of his life would be lived in poverty, in persecution, prison, and in suffering. His physical health would be terribly affected by the mistreatment that he received by so many. He gave up a life of fame and fortune to live a life of poverty and sacrifice, but he did so gladly. He said, I'll not boast of the numbers of people that I've converted to Christ. I'll not boast of the sacrifices I have made to further the cause of Christianity. I will not boast of my own purity or my own faithfulness. But if I boast, I will only boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Near the cross, we are reminded that God loves us in such a way that excels all others in this world. Near the cross, we find a strength that you cannot find anywhere else. Near the cross, the world's appeal loses its luster. Near the cross, we give ourselves away for God. I pray that you have received the blessings of the cross of Jesus Christ. If not, I urge you to take the steps that you need to take so that you can, even this day. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and if you're willing to repent of your sin, confess His name, and be baptized in the name of Christ, then there is a fountain open for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." If you have not taken those steps, we urge you to consider taking them today. But perhaps your need today is you've already taken those steps to obey the gospel, but you are again living in sin. We urge you, friend, to come quickly back to the cross of Jesus Christ, where you will find healing, hope, and forgiveness. If you will pray and reach out to God in repentance of your sin and confession of your sin, then He will forgive you. If there's some way that we can help you in this regard, we urge you, please, contact us today.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you. We hope that you'll tune in again to this station next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and at 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.